standing this morning for the reading of the Word of God, please.
Amen.
And standing for the reading of God's wonderful Word. It is wonderful, isn't it?
Amen.
The Lord for it. Amen. All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Hosea, chapter number 2. Hosea and chapter number 2 in the Word of God. That's right after the book of Daniel. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Hosea. In that order. All right, Hosea and chapter number 2. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Say ye unto your brethren, Am I, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Plead with your mother, plead for her, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore be put away for her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore," woo, I like that, "therefore. Therefore, behold," pay attention, God said, "therefore." Look what it's there for, because all these things that I've written here, "therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but she shall not find them." Now, that's an unusual place to stop in the middle of a sentence. But that's where I'm going to close out our reading today. I don't want to get into the other part of it. It's something else altogether. So let's pray and ask God's help. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning for the good Sunday school hour, your good presence, the good singing we've enjoyed, the fellowship and company of God's people. I pray now, Lord, that your presence would be experienced and felt, Lord, by every person under the sound of my voice. I pray you'd fill every soul with joy and happiness. I pray, Lord, that soul that's lost, that you'd bring them under conviction, draw them to yourself that they might be saved by the grace of God. Help your people this morning. Send us revival. I pray, Lord, for myself that you'd help me as I stand to preach today. I need divine grace and wisdom from above, and help from the Spirit of God. So I pray you'll anoint me this morning with that holy oil and with power. Grant liberty in the house of God, and help me to say everything that would bring honor and glory to your wonderful name and be a blessing to the hearts of people. And Father, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our text verse this morning is found in verse number 6. And Hosea writes there and says, "Therefore, behold," the Lord speaking here, "I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path." I want to preach this morning, if God will help me for a little while, on this thought, the purpose of the thorn. The purpose of the thorn. I don't intend to go back and recap everything that I've said in the book of Hosea by way of introduction this morning. But suffice to say that Hosea's wife here is a type of Israel. And as she was a wife of whoredoms, and she was an adulteress, God says so is his people. They're a people of whoredoms, and they're an adulterous people. And they've went after other gods rather than himself. Israel chose to go after those lovers that she felt like would give her her bread and her water and her wool or flax and oil and wine and drink and so forth. But God said, I'm going to hedge up your way with thorns. You may go after them, but I'm going to hedge up your path with thorns and make a wall that you shall not find them. I'm going to hedge you in that you shall not find them. And I'm going to hedge you in with thorns. Now that's strange to me because of what thorns are in the Word of God. Now I'm going to try to hurry this morning, but by way of introduction, let me say a few things about thorns. First of all, the first place that thorns are ever mentioned is in the book of Genesis, and they're mentioned there after the fall of Adam. You know the story, how Eve had been deceived by the serpent and been beguiled by the devil. And she had taken of that fruit of the tree that was forbidden for her and Adam to partake of. And really, God told Adam about the tree, and I'm sure that Adam conveyed that thought unto Eve. But nonetheless, Eve took of that tree being deceived. But Adam took of that tree in disobedience to what God had told him. And may I pause right there for a moment and say that's where Paul got his verse in Romans when he said, therefore, by one man's disobedience, sin entered the world and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men in that all have sinned. And so by Adam's transgression, by Adam's disobedience, sin passed upon all men. Now, once they had partaken of that fruit, the Lord comes to them in the garden. And he calls for Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I'm here amongst the trees. And the Lord said, he said, I'm hiding from you. And the Lord wanted to know why Adam was hiding. And he said, because I'm naked. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of that tree that I told you that you shouldn't eat of? And Adam, of course, said, Lord, it was the woman that you gave to me. She gave me of the tree and I did eat. And the Lord turned to the woman and said, what is this that thou hast done? And she said, the serpent beguiled me. And immediately the Lord pronounces judgment upon the serpent. He didn't pronounce judgment upon Adam and Eve at the beginning. But the judgment falls immediately on the serpent that beguiled Eve in the garden. And you know what that judgment was. He said, because thou hast done this, said thou art more cursed than any beast of the field. And he said, on your belly you will go all the days of your life, and the dust of the earth you will eat. And he said, the Lord said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now may I say right here, ladies and gentlemen, without any hesitation, that judgment left no hope at all for Satan whatsoever. None whatsoever. When the judgment was pronounced that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of that serpent, there was no hope left at all for the devil. May I say to you this morning, we worry about Satan, and he is a lion that goes about seeking whom he may devour, but he is a conquered foe. He has already been overcome and conquered by the Lord. He may growl and he may roar, but I'll assure you that even in Genesis 3:15, the prophecy that was made there come to pass when Christ died on Calvary and the head of the serpent was bruised there, and Christ has conquered him for all of us that know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. And so God passed judgment there upon that serpent. And then he looked at the woman. And he said unto the woman, he said, because you've done this, here's what I'm going to do to you. He said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, her judgment came by way of authority. Come on in the house, ladies. The Lord said, because you've done this thing, your husband is going to have authority over you. And that's Bible. I didn't say that. God said that. And if you've got a problem with that, you can take it up with the Lord. But the woman is to be in subjection unto the Lord. And the reason is because God's judgment fell upon her in the garden for her transgression against the Lord. Amen. And then God also said she'd have sorrow in conception. Now, I don't know whether that was simply the pain that comes with conceiving a child. I would think that if she had been without sin, there would have been no pain at all in conceiving children. But I'm satisfied that there was pain there. But it goes even deeper than that. The sorrow that you're going to have in conception, bringing forth children. I believe what the Lord is saying here, that you're going to have to, the woman is going to be more sensitive toward her children than what the man is when it comes to their life and livelihood upon this earth. And her heart is going to be easier broken for that child. If that child goes astray or doesn't live for the Lord, her heart is going to be more broken for that child than what the man's heart is. And she is going to live a life of sorrow of watching her children grow up if they grow up outside the Lord. But then he turned to Adam. And here's what I'm trying to get to. He turned to Adam. And here's what he said. He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground. Now get this statement. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Amen. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. If you'll notice, God did not say cursed is Adam, like he did the serpent. But he said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And he said, in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Here's the thought. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. I never saw this in my life in this passage till I started studying for this message. But the Lord said, I'm going to curse the ground. The ground is cursed for Adam's sake. But he turned right around and told Adam that he was taken out of that very ground that God had cursed. And then he told him, you come out of that dust and you're going back to that very dust that you've come out of. Therefore, putting Adam under the same curse that the soil, the ground, was put under. Adam was cursed in like manner. But you know something? I say this to your heart, to joy yours, to make your heart joyful. I'm glad that omniscient mind of God, that God had something else in store. In thought, he's saying to Adam, your body came out of this dust. His soul come from God. But he said, your body came out of this dust, and your body is going back to the dust, Adam, that it came out of. But oh, here's the glorious thought. In the economy of God, what he's saying is that, Adam, I've cursed the ground for your sake. And there's coming a day, because you eat of that tree, that you're going to die. And your body is going to be laid back into the ground that you were taken out of. You're going back, Adam, to the curse that I brought you out of. Amen. You're going back to that curse. But God, in His glorious plan for you and I, all along knows that even though this body of ours is laid back into the soil that was cursed, and our body begins to see corruption and begins to sift down through the soil of this world, begins to seep down and out of sight. Oh, but there's coming a glorious day, ladies and gentlemen. When that which has been cursed, amen, is going to come up out of that same soil that was cursed, and it was cursed, coming out of that ground, amen, and put on incorruption by the grace of God, and will live forever in the presence of Almighty God without corruption. But he said those thorns and thistles. Now, I'm going to get back to those thorns and thistles. You stay right with me, okay? Now, the second time thing I want to mention about the thorns and the thistles, and just I'll just be a moment on this, is in Judges chapter number 8, and I preached on this. You know the story how Gideon and his little 300 went after Zeba and Zalmunna. They came to Succoth. And Gideon asked bread from those people. And they would not give him the bread. They said, is Zeba and Zalmunna surely under your authority and your power? Said, we don't have any bread for you. And here's what Gideon said. Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into mine hand, then will I tear your flesh with thorns of the wilderness and with briars. And surely when Gideon came back after the great victory, the Bible said in verse 16 of that chapter 8, that he took the elders of the city and the thorns of the wilderness and the briars, and with them, get this now, I'm getting ready to go somewhere here in a minute, he taught the men of Succoth. He taught them with those thorns. Those very thorns that grew out of a curse. He said, I'm going to teach you something with those thorns that grew out of the ground that I had cursed at them already. Gideon already. Now you listen very carefully. The third place I want to mention, I don't think I'm going to turn there, but it's found in the book of 2 Corinthians. And it's in reference to our dear brother Paul. If you'll notice about Paul in that chapter, and I'm not going to take time to turn there because it's getting late. But Paul had been lifted up with pride because of all the many revelations that God had given him. He had been caught up to the third heaven and saw things that man should not see. And the Bible said that God gave him a thorn. Can I ask you where that thorn was at? That thorn was a thorn not in the spirit or the soul, but it was a thorn that was in the flesh. Now, I've already told you that that flesh is going back to the dirt that it came out of. Because it's cursed, ladies and gentlemen. It's going back to the soil. He sought God three times for that thorn. But every time God told him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And he never removed that thorn out of the flesh. As far as I know, Paul died with that thorn in his flesh. That would someday see corruption. That would someday go back to the dust from whence it came out of. Now stay with me, I'm going somewhere. Now before I get to my message, the last time I want to mention that, those thorns, is in John chapter 19. And the Bible said that then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Amen. Now come on in the house a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Here is the King of Glory that is standing before Pilate. He's turned over to the soldiers, and the first thing they do is take a crown of thorns and place those thorns upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on now, listen to me. Hey, now that's not there just to take up space. Those thorns are a product of the curse. Come on in the house. Those thorns are a direct product of the curse. God cursed the ground for Adam's sake and said, Adam, out of the ground, it's going to come thorns and thistles, and they're coming for your sake, Adam. May I say to you, I could just about run my head through a wall right now, that God can take a curse and bring a blessing out of it for people. What a God we serve today that can take something that's cursed and make a blessing out of it for you and I. That's right. In every instance, that's what he did. Now, you listen very carefully. When they put those crowns on the Lord's head, that's the thorns, if they had any spiritual knowledge at all, they knew that those thorns came from the soil that was cursed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord was made a curse for us. And those thorns identified Him with the fallen humanity that He came to save. That the body that He bore upon this earth. Amen. And they crowned Him with those thorns, identifying Himself with the curse that was upon mankind. Oh, and the fact that He came to redeem man from the curse that they were under from the beginning of creation. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Every time in this Bible, in that Bible, that is four times I just read to you, that God mentioned those thorns, they were given for one reason, and that was to help people. Somebody said, thorns? Hey, an old thorn, isn't it? Hey, folks, it don't have to be sown. It don't have to be planted. They're wild, friend. They just come up anywhere and everywhere. And I'm going to tell you something, you ram into one of them, it don't feel good. We've got some up there down below the tire. So I said, look, them pretty flowers growing in that tree. I said, you better stay away from that tree. It's a thorn tree. She said, I know that. But that thing had thorns on it that long, boy. It used to be all along my driveway, where my driveway's at. And you'd go up there and mow around them. You'd find out real quick how good it was to be around the hedge of thorns. I'm going to tell you, when they stick you, they hurt. They're painful. You know all about it, friend. When they gouge you, you know you've been stuck. But God told Adam, I'm going to curse the ground for your sake and bring thorns and thistles both out of it. In other words, I'm going to take something out of that curse. And I'm going to use it to bless you, Adam. I'm going to use it to bless you. Now stay right with me. When Gideon took those thorns, the Bible said he taught the men of Succoth. I wonder what he taught them. He might have taught them to trust in God a little bit. You reckon he may have? But it took the thorns to do it. The thorns taught them, hey, they did not feel good at the moment. But they were good in the end. Because it taught them to trust the Lord. Or listen to me, amen. In other words, they were used to bring them closer to God. Stay right with me. When that thorn was given to Paul in his flesh, wherever it was and whatever it was, now I'm not going to try to guess what it was, but it was given to him in his flesh for the simple reason that God didn't want Paul to let pride grow up in his heart. And I'm telling you many times, hey, I wonder how many of us in here today that God has had to prick with a thorn in the flesh to keep our pride and our haughty spirit where it ought to be. And that is in subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Word of God that we have before us this morning. I wonder how many of us has been like that. That thorn in the flesh. But here it is. That thorn in the flesh that prevented that pride was once again given to help man. It helped Paul. Amen. it kept Paul from growing up with pride in his heart and separating him and God, but that thorn drew him closer to God. Somebody said, how you know? He prayed three times to get rid of it. You cannot pray three times about something and not draw closer to God about it. You're what said? You can't pray three times about something
right,
and not draw closer to God about it.
Amen.
God stuck that thorn in his side. Oh, but here's the one that really gets me. It's when Jesus, when those big Roman soldiers put that crown of thorns on his head. I know the Bible said, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, friend, what he was saying is, that I've identified with humanity.
Right.
Amen.
The great Creator, can you get a hold of it?
Amen.
I'm talking about the God that created all things.
Amen.
Was made flesh, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Just
Amen.
Like you and I were made flesh.
Amen.
Took upon himself the form
yes.
of a servant and was made in the likeness of sinful flesh.
Amen.
And they put that crown of thorns on his head. Those thorns were a result of the curse. And what the Lord was telling them outwardly is, he not only had an inward work, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, but there was outward evidence. Those thorns were an outward evidence. That Christ had been cursed for who? For their sake.
Amen.
May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, thorns are not bad. Praise God. Thorns were given for Adam's sake. And they're given for our sake. And they're given for one reason. And that is to bring us closer to God. That's the reason. That's it.
Amen.
That is the message. They are not only to bring us closer to God, but God will give us those thorns to keep us close to Him. Now somebody said, preacher, what on earth are you talking about? Well, in our text in Hosea, Israel continued to flee from God and sought other gods. They didn't want to be in obedience to God, but they sought other gods, which are no gods, and would not humble themselves to the Lord. And He let them go so long. But now look at this. Boy, what mercy.
Yes, sir.
Man, what grace I see here. Here is a people that is doing their very best to get away from God. If that is not a picture of you and I, sinners, we've done our best to get away from God. You can say what you want to say, but I don't know any sinner that ever run into the arms of God, ladies and gentlemen. It was always God that come to where they were and moved on their heart and brought them unto Himself. And there Israel is running from God. And the Bible said that she's an adulterous wife. She is a wife of whoredoms. And yet God said, here's what I'm going to do. He said, you're going to try to run after your other lovers. But said, behold. Hey, that's a strong word, behold. He said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. You're going to run after other lovers. But said, I'm going to hedge up your way with what? Thorns.
Amen.
I'm going to hedge up your way with those thorns that grew out of a curse.
Yeah.
Amen. And I don't care which way you try to turn, there's going to be a hedge of thorns in your way. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I believe in the perseverance of the saints of God. God's not about to let His people get away from Him. You mark her down in your little black book, friend. You try to run from God. If you make it, if you succeed, you never was His.
Amen.
God will hedge up your way with a row of thorns on both sides, friend. And every time you try to dart off that path to another, those thorns are going to begin to prick and gouge you. And I'm telling you, they're painful. I'm telling you, amen. How many of us in here have not been through painful experiences in our life? And all the time we felt like it was God being mean to us. Oh, but on the contrary, it was God being good to us. Those thorns were actually an act of God's love toward His people. And how many times have we tried to run our own little course? Thinking we can do something on our own. Ouch, something sticks us down in the heart. And say, God, what are you doing that to me for? Something comes upon us unexpectedly and we say, Lord, what are you doing that for? What's the thorns all about, Lord? They're there not only to draw you to me, but they're there to keep you from running off with other gods and strange gods in this world. But to show you that I am God, and besides me there is none else. And by the way, He is. He's God. And I'm telling you, it's about high time that Baptists started recognizing the fact that God be God, let God be God, and if fail be God, go on after Him. That's right. I'm not no stinking Philistine. Amen. Now, somebody said, preacher, what kind of thorns does God use in our life? Well, sometimes they're kind of unexpected. Things you probably never thought about. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes God can use a thorn. God can use our bank account as a thorn. That money begins to dwindle. Hallelujah. The telephone bills and the light bills, the car payment and the insurance. They all come rolling in, and we pick up the bank book like I did the other day, and it says minus $365. And we say, God help. What are you doing to me, Lord? I'll tell you what I'm doing to you. I'm trying to get your attention. Can I say this to you this morning, this afternoon, whatever it is? This last marathon, if it proved anything to us, from the last one to the last one we had, it ought to prove to us that God can be God to us anytime God wants to. And God can do what He wants to do, when He wants to do it, and how He wants to do it, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's right. God can bless whenever He wants to. The old bank account got low, and we were wringing our hands, and one of these guys in here talking about, well, I guess I'll go to the unemployment office tomorrow. I've heard him say that. Well, I guess I better head to the unemployment office. Ain't nobody had to go there yet. Praise God. Amen. Ain't, as far as I know, ain't nobody in here had their home repoed. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's all over the country. We're living better than a lot of people, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm going to tell you why you've let God be God in your life. You have taken the thorns that God's given you and let them draw you closer to Him rather than drive you away from Him. When your bank account gets low, we get on our knees and raise our hands before heaven and cry out to God and watch God open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. There's not room to receive it all. Amen. I'd rather go to heaven broke than I would go to hell with everything the world has. Thank God for those thorns that hedged us in and kept us on that path that the Lord wants us on. That's what happened. That's what Israel did. The Lord said, therefore, He said, you went after other lovers. He said, your children, I'll not show them mercy. This, that, therefore, behold! He said, I'll hedge up your path with a curse that you can't get through. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Sometimes God will use those bank accounts as a thorn to get our attention. Boy, and I'm going to tell you this in here, this next one's been one. But I'm telling you, it's really got a hold of me. Sometimes God will use this body of clay I'm talking about sickness and disease, friend. As a thorn. I got up out of my chair in there in the bedroom this morning. I'd been in there reading a little bit. Miss Hall was in the bathroom. And about the time I got up, she walked in the, out of the bathroom in the bedroom where I was at. And I got up and I said, "Oh." She said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Honey, my back hurts." She said, "Is it the same place or somewhere else?" "Well, what makes the difference where it's at? It hurts." "In fact, I hurt all over more than anywhere else." That's exactly how I feel. I told one lady doctor down there at the VA one time, she said, "Where's your pain at?" I said, "I hurt everywhere but the earlobes." She wrote it down in the notes. But I'm going to tell you, I'm at best when I'm loose and doing something. You let me sit down 5 minutes after a while when I get up? Oh, God help. May God help. I don't know what else can go wrong with me. That doctor down there on Thursday out in there, I'll just start asking me, he said, "What kind of problems do you have?" And I started telling him, she said, "That's enough." I wonder what else can go wrong. I'm sure there's a lot else can go wrong. It's a mild affliction. I know a preacher today that his wife had just been almost mentally and physically incapacitated for 12 years. And he's rolled her around in a wheelchair and watched slobbers run out of her mouth, and he's babied her and took care of her and watched her and went on doing his best to preach and pastor. It's a mild affliction. What we have, most of us, is mild afflictions. But I'm going to tell you whatever they are, buddy, we better count them all joy for being there. God's hedged our little way in with thorns, ladies and gentlemen, to keep us on the straight and the narrow way, to keep us from straying from God. And I'm going to tell you where you can say what you want, but we are prone to wander. We're prone to stray from the God that loves us. We are. We're humans. Thank God for those thorn roads, those hedges of thorns that has made a path that we cannot get off of. That old body. Boy, she wears out, don't she? Old Rodney Proctor called me all the way from Mexico yesterday. Said, "Doctor, see where you're having some problems." He hadn't talked to me long. And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I doctor with the VA too." He said, "I'm having some problems with my kidneys." I said, "Well, what's wrong with your kidneys, preacher?" He said, "I got a cyst in each one of them. And they say they're not dangerous unless I start passing blood." Okay. But here was the one that got me. He told me, he said, "They told me I wouldn't have anything to worry about unless the cyst got bigger than the kidney." I scratched my head a little bit and I said, "Okay, that means if it gets bigger than the kidney, what's the kidney going to do? She's got to give somewhere down the line." "What are you talking about, Brother Hall?" "I'm talking about thorns like Paul had in the flesh, ladies and gentlemen. And God can use our bank accounts and God can use our bodies of clay to get our attention and get us where we ought to be with God." Amen. Just like He did Israel in the text. Amen. May I say number three, that God can use the battles we fight. Now I want you to listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Somebody said, "Preacher, you're always talking about the battles, yeah?" But you know what our problem is? Most of them we never win. That's the problem. One battle after another battle, and some people never win one. But yet God keeps bringing the battles on. Why? Maybe to get your attention. Maybe to get you back where you ought to be with God. I'm confident there's people in here this morning that have strayed from where you used to be in God. You're not what you used to be, and you're not what you ought to be. You've tried just like Israel to get out of that pathway, but God set some headstones in your way, ladies and gentlemen, to keep you in the straight and the narrow way and to bring you back to God where you ought to be. And one of those things is the battles you fight, and you don't recognize it. And therefore, what you don't recognize what God's doing, and therefore you never win the battle. Your idea is that if God loved me, I wouldn't be going through this. If God didn't love you, you wouldn't be going through this. For He scourges every son that He receives, is what John said. And if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, excuse the word, then are you bastards and not sons. That's what the Bible says. You better count those battles a real blessing.
Amen.
That's right. Let God get your attention. When God sticks that thorn in there and wiggles it around a little bit, and that realize that it's God doing it, and that God can deliver you from are in that battle. And God can give you victory. Number four, and I'm hurrying. I only got two more left. Number four, the burdens that we carry. Oh, where could I go but to the Lord? A load of burdens that we carry. Wonder, Lord, will I ever get out from under this one? It sure is heavy, Lord. It's weighting me down, Lord. I don't know how long that the shoulders have went carrying that load with little Ethan and wondering what God was doing in their life. Maybe feeling like God had, if I can use this term, dealt them a wrong hand in life. I know how Brother Steve felt about little Nathan. They was kind of really concerned about him. Now, he never said nothing to me about having any of those thoughts, but I'm wondering in his mind if he didn't think, well, the Lord's taught me to dealt me a wrong hand in life. I've got a son that's got a precious little girl, that she's got to have some kind of a neurological problem. She's not going to be able to learn their little hands and things. She's got some kind of problem. And I wonder if, and I even made a statement to my boy, I'm going to tell you what he said. But I wonder if he don't think in his heart, God dealt me a bad, bad hand. God's given me a bad deal. He's given me this little girl that's made up this way. And I'm going to tell you, I had to be real careful in my own life because I could have felt the same way. Of course, when Jordan was born, she laid up, you know, throwing little hands, and me and Miss Hall both said, she's got a problem. But we wouldn't tell her parents that we felt that way, but we felt she's got a problem. And she didn't have. We thank God for that. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying God knows how to put those thorns in her life, ladies and gentlemen. Or listen to what I'm saying. God knows how to put those thorns and to carry that burden of a child that had that kind of a problem. Or to carry the burden. And I'll say the last one and just put them both together. Bereavement. That thorn of bereavement over the loss of a loved one. Bereaving over the loss of a loved one. And you wonder, why God took my loved one? Maybe a baby. Maybe an adult. I have no idea. But why did God take my loved one? God didn't do me right. Oh, yes, God did. God never makes a mistake. Now, I'm telling you, don't ask me why things happen like everything. Don't ask me why everything like that happens in our life. But one thing I know, woo! God never makes a mistake, honey. And I'm going to tell you, hey, everything that happens in our life is done for a specific purpose of Almighty God. To work in our life. And we can either take that thorn and let it work in our life and become a blessing to us, or we can let it be the curse that it is. That choice is yours and mine. The purpose of that thorn is to get us to God. Just like it was Israel. He said, I'm going to hedge up your way with thorns. And said, the only way you can come is to me. There's no exits. There's no exits. Now, how many of you in here this morning has got a problem like I mentioned. You're carrying a load. Can't carry any longer. Your body's got a problem. You feel like you can't bear up under any longer. You're physically diseased or afflicted in some way. I'm here to tell you God can help you. God has given you that to bring you to Him. Isn't it marvelous how God can take a curse and use it for a blessing to His people? Let's stand together.